Have your Bible, please open to Luke 24. Luke 24. Old Testament, New Testament. New Testament. Bible's two parts. Old Testament before Christ. New Testament, like a year before he was born and 100 years after. It's a history of that time. The New Testament, third book of New Testament is Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. By the way, John, Brother Ed showed up after we prayed for him. Somebody say amen. All right. Luke 24, we'll start with verse 25. Luke 24, verse 25. Let me ask you a question. How can we live in his presence more? Have you ever visited God? Have you ever been in his presence? Has God ever touched you? I saw those two hands. I wonder if there's anybody else in there. Oh, there's another one. Oh, there's another one. Oh. God's touched you. Have you ever found yourself that you have to come back to God? Yes? What if you could just like live in his presence? What if you could be like this one hanging out with her, but you hanging out with Father? Would you like that? I wish somebody would have told me that in the beginning. I wish somebody would have told me that in the beginning. I mean, I was doing it, but I wish I could have known then what I know now. It was like, dude, I could have cut through a whole lot of stuff, you know, a bunch of religious entanglements and learned to live in the presence of God in the midst of what God calls religion. And I believe it's James chapter 1, verse 26, when he talks about what true religion, pure religion is. So that's a whole other sermon. We're not going there. Here's the title of the sermon. How can we live in his presence more? Does that interest anybody here? Okay, there's one. How can we live in his presence more? Would you like this? You know, if you were going to bake some chocolate chip cookies, do you think you would use sawdust? Well, some people's taste like... No, you wouldn't, would you? There's a certain recipe to get chocolate chip cookies. By the way, we used to, like, at the last building, we put a sign out by the road, and it says, need prayer. And we had a little table, and we always had chocolate chip cookies. You know why? Because Jesus likes chocolate chip cookies. And we give them to people when they come up. Can we give you a cookie? And then we pray for them. It was so much fun. Okay. So, anyway. How can we live in his presence more? And there's three more questions that are like sub-questions. You ready? How can we fulfill God's purpose? Would you like to know that? Why am I here? Is it just to do it day by day? Don't have a goal? If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. You have to have a goal to hit it. Do you understand? Okay? So we need to set a goal. What's our goal? Well, how about God's purpose? What's God's purpose for your life? I wish I had my little box that somebody asked me, it was her daughter or somebody, whatever that girl's name was. It was at high school, and I went and spoke at the, whatever you call that thing, where all the, baccalaureate, yeah, and maybe her sister too. And anyway, baccalaureate, what's her last name? Only kidding. And I went and spoke at that thing, and God told me to buy this little box. And I bought this little box, and it's got all these little shapes of different colors, like squares and circles and half moon and stars. And God told me to hold that up and say to you, which one of these are you? Because you're all different. Some of you are stars, and some of you are circles, and some of you are squares, and some of you are triangles. And if you try to fit your life in somebody else's hole, it doesn't work. God didn't call us to be cookie cutters. I mean, you know, cookie cutters. You understand? We're all individuals. Aren't you glad? Some of you are really glad you don't have to be like me. Aren't you glad? And then some of you can't help it. You fell off the same bush, you know, and you're going to be like me. That's just the way it is, okay? But God called you to be you. And what we want to do is get you so close to Jesus. This is our goal. To get you so close to Jesus that you're just going to, like, as you hang out with him, he's going to, like, rub off on you or something that's wet from the thing over there I didn't spit up. Okay. They use a burp cloth with me, so I don't get it on my clothes usually. But we want to get you so close to Jesus, and then as you hang out with him, you're going to become like him. And then everywhere you go, I didn't get the hairs off if there's any. Okay. What's going to happen is you're going to hang out with him. You're going to become like him. You're going to find out how he loves you, how he believes in you, even when we don't make all the right choices and we're all embarrassed and all ashamed. And then he's like, when we come back to him and he says, today is the first day of the rest of your life. He said, bring me all the rest of it and I will wash it clean in my blood. It is finished. It's paid in full. It's under the blood. I'm going to forget it. Yeah, but God, what about? And he's like, what sin are you talking about? You already confessed it. It's forgotten. I buried it in a sea of forgetfulness. It's done. Now, let's go forward. Right?
Amen.
That's where we need to learn to live, because we beat ourselves up. We have wrong thinking. We compare ourselves among ourselves. We have wrong thinking. We think to get such and such, you know, they that little saying, keeping up with the Joneses, trying to get what everybody else has. Somebody got people see my Note 3, and they're like, wow, that's a big phone. It's almost an iPad. And I go, yeah, well, I got to get one. I'm like, you don't got to keep up with me. I didn't even want this thing. It's called a smartphone. When I heard about a smartphone, I said, God, I don't want something smarter than me. I said, I can't figure that thing out. And then my wife and daughter wanted one, so I went and got them one. And then about within a week, God just kept pestering me. He said, I want you to go get one. I said, Lord, I like my little flip phone. I'm better than it, you know. I can control it. It don't threaten me. I'm afraid of that thing. It's got internet, scares me, all these other things. Everybody, they do this, all these young people, you know, and it's just stuff. And they're telling me all this stuff that I don't even know. And I'm like, I'm afraid of the thing. And he's like, just go get one. Now I'm glad I got it. It helps me a lot of different ways. I still don't know how to hardly use it at all, but it's got my Bible on there, and it makes phone calls, and I can do text, so I don't have to call people at 1 in the morning and tell them stuff, you know? And I don't have to answer it when they keep texting me all day long, as if I was doing nothing, you know? I can get to it whenever I want, you know? Before that, it just irritated me, you know? People ask me, you have text? No. No, leave me alone. You know, I do phone calls. But what I'm saying is God has a plan for us. How can we live in his presence more? How can we fulfill God's purpose? How can we fulfill God's purpose for our own lives? Wouldn't you like to, at the end of life, see that you fulfilled why you were put here? Wouldn't it be neat to stand in front of God and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. It's all like, instead of walking up and crying because you're ashamed, because you knew you were a rebel and disobedient, and not faithful, you'd like to have him smiling at you, wouldn't you? Huh? I mean, end up that way? Well, guess what? That's how I seek to live every day. So like, at any second of the day, I could just kind of like in my mind, turn my face toward him, and I can feel the warmth of his smile. That's where I want to live. It's not living by rules, but there's rules and laws and things that we need to stay within so that you have his smile. You live in that smile. That's where I want us to live. Okay? So how can we fulfill God's purpose for our own lives? How about can we get past ourselves and fulfill God's purpose for the earth? What is our plan? What is God's plan for us that he wants to do through us to reach this world? Because, do you know, there's a whole lot of people that are going to hell. There's a whole lot of people that are going to hell. The Bible says, enter ye in. I believe it's Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Jesus says this, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way which leads to destruction. And many people there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. and few there be that find it. Folks, I have a lady right now that owes me money. She keeps telling me, I will pay you. Well, it's been 3 or 4 months, and she keeps telling me she'll pay me. I've already did the $550 of work. I already gave her a deal. I already did everything. I haven't got paid. If she doesn't pay me, I don't want God to hold it against her. Do you understand? I don't want her to get what she deserves. Do you understand? Because I got Jesus' heart in me. I want her to be released from that. I want her to be blessed. I want her not just to be delivered from hell, but I want her to learn to experience the God life here, the fullness. Do you understand?
Yes.
How is this world going to come to Jesus? You see, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, so you got the questions? Good. Turn over to Luke 24. Start with verse 25. Okay? Jesus, there's two men that are walking after Jesus had rose from the dead. Two men are walking down this street. They're on their way to a city called Emmaus, you know, kind of like Granville or something. And Jesus walks up next to them, and they're asking him questions, and they're trying to figure out because they don't understand. They said, we were believing in this guy who was here, that he was the Messiah, but they killed him, and then we heard he rose from the dead, and we don't understand, and we're doing all this. In verse 25, Jesus said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ, shouldn't I have suffered these things, and to enter into God's glory? Verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Turn over to verse 30. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat with them, he took bread, and he blessed it, and he brake, and he gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told him what things were done in the way and how that Jesus was known of them in breaking of bread. Turn to verse 44, please. And Jesus shows up to the people that are gathered, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. By the way, in the law of Moses, that's the first 5 books of the Old Testament. It's called the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Moses is the one that God moved on to pen those that are always attributed to him. And then he's breaking down the rest of the Old Testament, and he says, and then the prophets, like the minor prophets, Haggai, Malachi, he's talking about 1st, 2nd Kings, Chronicles, Samuel, blah, 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 okay? And here's Jesus, he's talking about the Old Testament. They just didn't call it the Old Testament then, because they didn't have a New Testament yet. And in the Psalms, the book of Psalms, longest book in the Bible, 150 chapters. And he says, he took the whole scripture and he says, all things must be fulfilled which were written in the book that they had so far, that were written in the book concerning me, Jesus said. Verse 45 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible because it's what you need to pray when you go to read the Bible. Then opened Jesus their understanding that they might understand the scripture. Let's take Katie. Katie goes to read the Bible. Katie is pretty sharp tack, you know. In other words, she's not the dullest crayon in the box. She's she doesn't play with a few cards short of a full deck. She's pretty bright. But if Katie just tries to read the Bible with her own mind, She's going to be limited in what she sees and understands. But if she says, Jesus, would you open my understanding that I might understand the scriptures? Jesus, Daddy, would you put the cookies on the bottom shelf so I, like this little one, can pick them up and eat them? You're the author. You know what you meant. And I'm your little child. You know what I need. So would you come and just serve me some hot, fresh manna from heaven right now? And he's like, I was just waiting for you to ask me that. That's why I like that verse. Verse 46. And Jesus said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. He's talking about the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection. And that repentance and remission of sins or removal of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Grand Rapids, right here, and then reaching out. That's what he's talking about. And you are witnesses of these things. And because you're a witness, then you're responsible to talk about what happened to you. Here's what happened in my life with my finances. He's talking about tithing. I can't just sit here. I got to say, this is what I did. This is how it affected my life. I met Jesus. Here's how it affected my life. No, I'm not a good example of Christ. I'm a good example of a rotten sinner that needs Jesus 24 hours a day. But I want to tell you what he did for me.
Amen.
You are witnesses of these things. If they're not going to hear it from us, who are they going to hear it from?
Right.
Somebody on TV that gives some canned something? Do you understand? Are we trying to impress them? Or are we trying to get them to Jesus? Verse 49. He says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Jesus says, I send the promise of my Father upon you. He's talking to his followers. He says, but tarry ye. That word means to wait. Wait. How many of you like to stand in line and wait? Do you know that Jesus has had to stand in line many times as we put other things in front of him in our lives? And do you know he loves us? He's so kind and gracious. But he says, Jacob, I know you're making me wait while you put all these other things trying to serve yourself. He says, but you know what, Jacob? I love you so much. You're worth waiting for. He says, they're even going to name a song after what I'm doing because I'm going to be right here waiting for you. That's my Jesus. And that's how Jesus wants with us. You love people. And you give them the amount of time they need to come in. Some people are going to move faster in God. Some people are going to move slower. Some people are going to come, get touched. How many people have come here, Pastor Glenn? Oh, this is my church. I've been touched. God wants me here. And we never see them again. Maybe they come a year later, 5 years later. And they act, you know, some of them come in like this. Oh, like our worship leader. You know what his testimony is? It took him 4 years from the time God first brought him. 5 years from the time God first brought him and he knew he was supposed to be here. It took him 5 years. Now, during that 5 years, did we say, hey, you know, you're supposed to be here. Hey, what's wrong with you? You know, like, can you get a clue yet? I mean, did we act like that? No, because that doesn't help anybody. You know what we did? We just loved them to Jesus. God, I'm a little put out with this fellow, but God, I know you want to reach him through me. I know he's supposed to be here, but God, I'm just in the flesh sometimes, getting a little irritated with this dude. Like, he would call me on the phone. We would talk for, well, he would listen for hours. And, you know, he'd have his questions and stuff. And I'm thinking, he'd ask me these questions. And I knew the answer was, come to Burning Bush. And he was like, I don't know where God wants me to go. And I'm like, ah! You know, I used to have long hair. But see what happened after Nate? This is the after Nate look. I'm like, dude! And I'm like, God's like, you can't tell him. I'm like, but the dude seems dull, Lord. He's not getting it. He's like, just keep loving him. Just keep loving him. Just keep loving him. Lord, I've answered these same questions 20 times now. I know, Harv. How many times did you need to hear? You see what I'm saying? It's loving people to Jesus. In other words, it's Jesusing them. They just need to get Jesus. Let's don't straighten anybody out. Let's share with them what God gives us to share. Maybe he just says, all I want you to do is give them a little hug. Maybe I want you to tell them, Jesus loves you 100% right now. He doesn't love you more when you do better. You can't make him love you any more than he does right now. You're already the delight of his heart and the desire of his soul. He has me tell that to people all the time. This lady called me the other day to talk about a tub. I get on the phone. God pokes a hole in my balloon. I talk about the tub a little bit, however much. And then we got to talk about what was important, Jesus. And he pokes a hole in my balloon. And we're about to hang up. And I said, I don't even think I talked about Jesus yet. I said, but she had told me how we got to the end. She said, yeah, I'd like my tub done, but I don't have enough money right now, or I'm out of a job or something. And I think she said she was out of a job. And God just pokes hold of my balloon and says, Harv, will you let me get loose? And I said, sure. What do you want to say? What do you want to do? He says, ask her if y'all can pretend you're friends. I said, can we pretend we're friends for a minute? And she goes, yeah. And I said, Father. I just start praying for her right on the phone. Before I'm not praying for her to get a job, I'm praying for God. She had lost her husband. I pray for God to be her husband. Reminded her Isaiah 54:5, for thy maker is thine husband. That word husband means lover, provider, protector. I'm saying all this. Next thing I know, I say amen. She's like weeping. She can't even like answer me. Lord, I'm saying, go enjoy Jesus, you know, and I'm just like hung up. Do you understand? We need to get them to Jesus and back off. Not have our little ulterior motives of what we want them to do. Not try to manipulate. Here, wouldn't you feel good if you came and served? You know, no. Quit touching them. Let Jesus touch them. Lose your life so he can live his life through you. He laid down his life so you can live. But his life was cut short. Wouldn't you like to see Jesus be able to live his life out? You know, fulfill his life that he came here for. He wants to do it through you. When you lose your life, he's going to live his life through you. And you, I'm going to tell you what, man, there is nothing higher than the life of Jesus. It's like living Jesus. Okay, look, I'm doing pretty good. Here's my notes. I'm right to here. See? Now we go to Acts chapter 1. So, I'm sure we'll be done within 3 or 4 hours. Don't worry about it. Okay. Acts chapter 1. No, and that food will be done when we're done, okay? So, anyway, because after 3 hours, I'm sure it'll be done. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. Are you ready? We're going to read through verse 14. The former treaties, the former letter have I made, O Theophilus. The word Theophilus actually means lover of God. Whoo! Love it. You ready? The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was... Wait a minute. Did we finish reading Luke 24? Nope, we didn't. So after verse 49, Luke 24, where we were, last four verses. And Jesus led them out as far as to Bethany, a city, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. That's why we do what we do. We try to do what he did. That's why when I go to pray for people, lift up my hands, bless them. Okay? And it came to pass, while Jesus blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. You know, he said, beam me up, Father. Woo! Star Trek. Okay? And they worshiped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. How can we live in his presence more? Look what they did. Look what they did. Okay? Now we're going over to Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, Jesus, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Man, there's so much here. Okay, Jesus. To whom also Jesus showed himself alive after his passion or after his death by many infallible or undeniable proofs, whereas Jesus was seen of them 40 days, 40 days after he rose from the dead. For the next 40 days, he was seen multiple number of times by different people, groups, even up to 500 people at once. You'll find in 1 Corinthians. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with his disciples, he commanded them that they should not depart from Grand Rapids, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, did we just baptize with water? I'm sorry, did we just baptize with water? What does that mean? If you said it, if you're going to tell a kid what's baptism, what would you tell them? In simple terms, so a little kid can understand it. We don't want to tell them submersed. A little kid's not going to understand submersed. Well, how do we say it? We're going to put them under the water. They going to get that? You think a little kid will get that? We're going to put them under the water, just like we did with those two a little while ago. Well, God says, you get baptized on the water. He says, now you're going to get completely covered with me, the Holy Ghost. No, look for it, Jacob. Okay. Verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Lord, we got some things that we want done. And he said to them, it's not for you to know about that, the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. Verse 8. But you shall receive power. That word is where we get the word dynamite. It's dunamis in the Greek. It means dynamite power. But you shall receive dynamite power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be, what's going to happen when Holy Ghost comes upon you? You're going to go around talking about, oh, the Holy Ghost came upon me. Isn't this wonderful? Don't you want to have a nice feel-good experience? He's like, no, that's not what it's about. He said, when the Holy Ghost comes on you, you're going to be witnesses unto me. And you're going to start in Grand Rapids. You're going to go out to Kent County. Then you're going to go to Michigan. And then you're going to go under the uttermost part of the world. You get it? You're going to talk about what God did for you. You're going to just start talking about it. And as you start talking about it here, he's going to open doors for you to go further and further. And pretty soon, you're going to be like ministers witnessing all over the place, just releasing Jesus. And Jesus is just going to get all over this world. He's going to get over into the Bosnian world. He's going to get into the teenage world. Woo, those foreigners. He's going to get over into Ionia. He's going to get into all kinds of people downtown Grand Rapids and parks and everywhere. And how does it start? All we got to do is just hang out with him. Hang out with him. Because you become like who you associate with. Amen. By the way, I just gave you a warning. If you keep coming to Burning Bush, you got a clue what you're going to become like? Okay, just thought I'd let you know, just in case, you know, you needed that as a warning. Okay? So we're in Acts chapter 1. Keep reading down to verse 14. And when Jesus had spoken these things, while his followers beheld him, he was taken up. See, this picks up where Luke 24 ends. And a cloud received Jesus out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as Jesus went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which were angels, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why do you stand staring up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem, or Grand Rapids, from the mount called Olivet, which is from Grand Rapids, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode or where stayed or lived both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. Verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. God said, I want you to wait. These men had already spent time with Jesus. And now he says, I want you to wait. You're going to be empowered. I'm going to fill you with my spirit. You're going to be witnesses. But just wait. Just wait. It's almost time. But just wait. And they spent 10 days doing this. Okay? Now, turn over to chapter 2 and verse 1, which is only a few verses ahead. Chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost means 50, and it was 50 days after the resurrection of Christ. You ready? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That's unity. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, or like divided tongues of fire, that sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance, or as the Holy Spirit moved on them. And there were dwelling in Grand Rapids Jews, devout men, men that loved God, out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, can you imagine? You got 120 people. I don't think I showed you that, but I think it's back in verse 15 of chapter 1. There was about 120 of them in the upper room. And now, all of a sudden, they're all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they're speaking in other languages they had never known before. And what are they speaking? They're speaking the praises of God. But man, they're like, you think it was like, oh, yabba dabba doo? Or, oh, Bosnian, praise God? Or you think they were going, Bosnian, praise God! Yabba dabba doo! I mean, you see what I'm saying? They were excited. God came on them. Do you understand? And they're like, while this was noised abroad, the multitude of people came together and they were confounded. They were like mixed up because that every man heard them speak in his own language. He may have been speaking German and she was speaking, you know, a foreign language to you. She was speaking English only kidding. And she was speaking French, but she was from Pakistan and she was hearing Pakistani. She was hearing them talk about God in Pakistani. It didn't matter if he was speaking in German. She was speaking in French. It was a miracle of the Holy Spirit helping her to understand in her own language. And if you'll read on here when we get to it, there's 16 different nationalities or languages that were talked about here. And they were all praising God, but all the people were hearing in their own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, or behold, are not all these which speak in English? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia in Egypt and all the rest of them, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, check it out, dude. What does this mean? That's what they were saying in modern language. You know, they said, what meaneth this? It's like, dude, what's going on? Others mocked and said, these guys are drunk. They're full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. In other words, pay attention on purpose. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. Back then, people didn't go get drunk. by 9 in the morning. Their day started at 6. By 9 in the morning, people weren't drunk. Okay, they said, these aren't drunken. It's only the third hour of the day, 9 in the morning. But this is that which was spoken of in the Bible by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men, old guy, shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And God said, and I'm going to show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, vapor of smoke. And the sun's going to be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm not going to turn anybody away. He says, you don't have to be a Jew to come to me. He said, it's the people. I made them in my image. He says, you men of Israel, pay attention on purpose. Hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth. A man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as yourselves also know. Now he's talking to the people that just crucified Jesus 2 months earlier. Him, Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Son, here, come here, be my son for a minute. Here's God in heaven, and he says, son, would you be willing to go down to the earth? Because they're all going to hell, and we don't want them to go there, do we?
No.
No. Son, I got a plan. Here's what I want you to do. Now, I know we made them in our image, but right now what I want to do is make you in their image. I'm going to prepare a little body for you. I'm going to put you, the real you, you know, your spirit, in that little body. And you're going to grow up and you're never going to sin. And then you're going to become a construction worker, whatever you call it, carpenter. And then at the age 30, you're going to become a preacher. And you're going to start telling them all the things that we want them to know. Yep. And then, and I want you to love them. I want you to love them. Now you can't sin now. Okay? I know you wouldn't anyway. But what I want you to do is now at the age 33, when you're right in the prime of life, when you could just have all your dreams and do anything you want, I want you to take their place and die on the cross. That is my, if you look at verse 23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. God knowing what's needed, he had a plan. It's not that they came and wrestled Jesus, took him by surprise. He kept telling it was going to happen. Would you be willing to do that for them?
Yes.
Now, I'm telling you, it's not going to be easy. You're going to be lonely. They're not going to understand you. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to mock you. They're going to, even your best friends, people that are the closest that you handpick, in your worst hour, they're going to leave you. Are you still willing to do that for them?
Yes. I love you, son.
Go. See? That's my Jesus. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. He says, you who just slew Jesus, you have taken Jesus, and by wicked hands you've crucified and killed him, whom God has raised from the dead, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh in the Old Testament concerning Jesus, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Look at verse 28. You have made known to me the ways of life. You shall make me full of joy with your countenance. With your presence, as I behold your face, you'll make me full of joy. Verses 32 and 33. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, lifting up Jesus, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear, talking about when the Holy Ghost came on the people and they're all praising God in different languages, they're hearing it. Now we're going to read verses 36 to 47. I say a few words, which I've never done before, but we're going to practice that, and we'll be done. Are you ready? Therefore, I'm going to stop there. I'm going to finish this next week. See, I've learned, God told me, if y'all get dead on one end, you're going to get dead on the other. So I'm going to give you a break. I don't want anybody to want to leave. I want you to stay in fellowship and eat this food over here because we love you. If you want to read, you read those last verses. By the way, I think it's the last 12 verses of the chapter. I want you to listen to what I'm saying. In 1987, graduated Bible college, and God told me to go start a church from scratch. I was living in Michigan, and he sent us to Texas, 1,800 miles away. We were down by Mexico. We were 40 miles from Mexico. The people all talked Mexican. I didn't know one word of Mexican, unless it was Mexican, Mexico. See, they don't even say it right. And we went down there, and he said, I want you to get them. I want you to get them with Jesus. Go get them, Harv. Now, everything sounded good when I was in Bible college for 9 years. But now I'm out on my own. Now I'm the pastor. I'd been one of you. Now I'm the pastor. I don't have anybody there to help me. I mean, you know, my wife and five kids or whatever there was. You know, there were seven of us. All them little delinquents. I mean, what do you call them? Younger people, you know what I mean? Juveniles, yeah. All I could think of was delinquent, you know. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Little porch monkeys, I mean, yard apes. I mean, you know, yeah, curtain climbers. Okay. And you ready? So I got on my face and I cried and I said, God, how are we going to do this? And he said, just watch her. I said, I need help. And he said, Harv, Acts chapter 2, verse 36 to 47. And that became my instruction manual. He said, just do Acts chapter 2, verse 36 to 47. He said, if you do that, it'll all come out right. We, in 14 months, turned that city upside down for Jesus. It was a Catholic town. And we would go door to door, and I would say, hi, I'm Pastor Harvey. We're starting a church here. Can I ask you a question? I said, would you like to talk about Jesus? And all these Catholics said, yeah. And I said, if you were to die today, are you 100% positive you would immediately go to be with God in heaven? And at every door I went to, I got one of five answers. I think so. I'm trying. I'm doing my best. I'm working on it. I hope so. And then I would say, do you have a Catholic Bible? And they would go get their Bible, because Catholics have Bibles. And they would go get their Bible. And I would say, can I show you a verse? And I would show them 1 John 5:13, because it reads almost just like ours. At least back then, the Douay version, which is what the Catholics used at that time. I think they changed since then. But back then, it was the Douay version, 1987. And I would read this verse to them. These things, God says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I said, can I ask you a question? Do you know you have eternal life? And they said, no. And I said, well, do you have clothes on? Do you know you have clothes on? And they go, yeah. I said, well, do you know why you know you have clothes on? They said, why? I said, because you got them on. You know why you don't know you have eternal life? Because you don't have it. Would you like to have eternal life? Yeah. And then I would show them how it's a free gift through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. But the wages of sin is death. What we deserve for sinning is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not through becoming a Baptist or something else. You could be born again being a Catholic. It has to do with, do you have Jesus or do you just know about Jesus? And do you know what? In that Catholic town, we knocked on every door of a town of 10,000 in 14 months. And over 600 of those Catholics in that town came to meet Jesus and know him and were never the same. Turn every single day, we would have one or two or three people getting saved. I mean, like what happened today, we did every day. We had a cattle trough out in the back of our church, which was our house, 24 hours a day, dude. If he got saved at 5 a.m., by 6 a.m., he's getting baptized, dude. I would drive around the town. It was a little town, about a mile and a quarter square. I'd honk my horn when I got in front of the people that came to our church and say, we got another one! Come on down! And within 20 minutes, we'd have 20 to 30 people. And we'd sing a song like, shall we gather at the river? Whatever, you had to sing in Southern, you know, it's the right way to sing. And, or we'd sing, you know, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a low-down, sorry, scumbag sinner like me, you know. And we would sing something, and the next thing I know, here we are, putting them in that water, go to baptize them. I mean, it was happening every day. Every day. Can you imagine? Every day. I mean, think about it, every day. And they're like, coming in, what's next? What's next? It's like, he's got a plan for your whole life. Here's the instruction manual. It's so simple. It's so simple that a child could do it. I know it's hard for us adults because we complicate everything. But a child could do it. That's why he calls us children of God. Can I give you a hint? I'm sorry, you're supposed to say yes, Pastor. Give me a hint. Thank you. Good. I'm really glad you invited me. Okay, you ready? In order, if I wanted to put something in your hand, put your phone in your hand. Now, if I go to hand you my phone, you can't take my phone because your hand's already full, right? What is it you're holding on to that's in the way of what God wants to give you? Well, I already think, and God's like, I guess I have to wait until you're ready to receive what I say because you already know. It's like some people say, don't interrupt me with the truth. I already know what I believe. Does it make sense? What if we did this? God, like this is a notebook of everything I know, everything I've been taught, everything that my parents told me when I was taught in church up until I met Jesus. God, I'm willing to take everything that I believe, everything I think is true, and Jesus, I'm willing to lay it at your feet. If it's true, I could trust you to give me back the true part. But Lord, if it's not, if there's parts of it that aren't true, I don't want it. Do you? Do you want what's not true in your life? I can't hear you.
No.
Think about it. So God, I'm going to lay down what I think I know, what I've been taught, and I'm willing, Jesus, for you to search through it. If it's true, I could trust you to give me back the truth. If it's not true, I don't want it anyway, so throw it away. And if it's a mixture of truth and error, Jesus, would you fix it and get rid of the error? Because all I want is truth of Jesus living in me. Is this like jumping up and down in anybody's belly? Is this like ringing true? Is anybody getting this? I'm looking for the lights to go on. I'm just... You ready? Remember what we started with? The question, how Can we live in His presence more? Do you think God hangs out with sin? Do you think He allows error into heaven? It wouldn't be heaven, would it? It's got to be forgiven. It's got to be made right, doesn't it? And He's the only one who can make it right. So if we want to live in His presence more, we've got to come more into truth. How do we do that? We have the word of truth, but it doesn't do us any good if we already start reading and say, I already know what I believe. I'm going to find a verse to prove it. See, I have preachers that I talk to that they already know what they believe, and they're going to find a verse to prove it, even if they got to twist it. And I say, but how does that agree with this and this and this? Because I've read it so many times, you know, over 75, that I know it a little bit. So, and then plus, if I'm talking to a pastor or a preacher, then God sent me there. And so God's like, hey, show them this verse. Hey, show them that verse. And I just keep, here. What are you going to do with it? Well, I already know what we believe. My denomination teaches. I'm like, but if your denomination don't agree with Jesus, don't you think you ought to chuck that, or are you going to follow man, or are you going to follow Jesus? Who do you want to hang out with? Who do you want to be like? You see what I'm saying? Anybody getting this? Do we want to be more like Him? Do we want to be more in His presence? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray right now. In just a little bit, we're going to eat. Don't worry. I know your bellies are like acting like, you know, animals. But we're going to eat in a little bit. But let's pay attention just for a minute, okay? I'm going to pray. And if it's your prayer, if any part of it you could jump in on, then just tell God, amen. Just say it. Say it like, yes, yes, yes. Okay? You don't got to wait till the end. We're not Dutch. You don't got to wait till the end and write me a little note that says amen. You can talk already, okay? That's how they do when I go to their churches. You know, they walk up. Nobody says anything. So I have to go down and jump down on the front pew and start amening myself because I can't hear anybody. You know, they won't respond till the end. They hand me a little note in Dutch. Amen. In or yes. Okay? So you can talk. It's okay. You won't lose your salvation. It's okay. All right? You ready? I'm going to pray, but you make this your prayer. And then when I'm done praying, you see that those steps behind me? That's a meeting place with God. It's called an altar. And you go up there and you talk to Him if you want. You don't have to. But I'm talking to you about getting so close to Him. I'm talking to you about not be daring to be different. Not worrying about what others think. What does God think? And if He's pulling on your heart, come on up. You're going to love it. I'm telling you, the water's fine. You could ask Ashley. She said, the water's fine. I thought it was going to be cold. It was fine. It was warm. The water's fine. You ready? Jesus, I want to live in Your presence more. I want to live in Your presence more. Yes? Jesus, I am willing to take everything I think I know, all my experiences, what I've been taught, and lay them down at Your feet, and I'm willing for You to sort through them. I trust You that anything that's true, You're going to give back to me. But if it's not true or contains error in any way, I want You to remove that. Like take and erase on the blackboard of my heart what's not of You. And rewrite on the table of my heart what is of You so I can live right up next to Your heart, hang out with You, not visit, not have to come back, but learn to walk with You, hang out with You 24/7. That's what I want, Jesus. I want You. I want to give You this gift right now. Thank You for giving me the gift of eternal life. Thank You for giving me the gift of Your heart. Thank You for giving me the gift of Your time. Thank You, Jesus. You are so worthy. You're so beautiful. I want You more, Jesus. Help me to enter closer into this place with You.